Hi, this is Spike Ferrestins from Spike's Car Radio. Here we are again on the porch in Malibu, and I'm here with the great Jeremy Piven. I'm a huge fan of him and his doggie. Is your doggie's name Frenchie?
Bubba.
Bubba. Well, yes. It says Frenchie on the collar.
I know. He forgets who he is, what kind of dog he is. You know, it's like we could just have a little something that says Jew, right? So we remember, this is what I am.
I don't know. I'm not going to call a dog a Jew. I can't.
They did.
Well, we've taken a serious turn here on the podcast. Listen now on podcast1.com, Apple Podcasts, or the Podcast One app.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew over there. What's going on, Drewski?
Man with sunglasses on, dude.
It's so pretty funny. Cool. It's so sad. I have these lenses.
It was a very Jules Dash look.
It very much was. I was thinking that.
I'm trying. It's such a weird. I'm not mad at Drew, but what I'm trying to do is I walk in. I have reading glasses or just glasses, but they have the transitional lenses.
Yeah,
they turn dark. But I have sunglasses, and I wear sunglasses. But I made a huge mistake. I clipped them around my collar, and they're thus exposed to the sun. So then I walked in, and I looked at put my glasses on. I was like, oh, they're dark. And then I thought, oh, crap. How do we get out of this? Because we're going to have to talk about it, because Drew can't wrap his mind around transitional lenses. So that's why I took them off right at the beginning of the show, because I put them on when I walked in. I was like, oh, they're dark. And I was like, oh, don't let Drew see this, because he's not going to be able to wrap his mind around this. And I pulled them off, and that's what he starts with.
Sorry, Adam, that's on you.
No, it's on me.
I'm with you. I'm not...
Impressed.
Somebody drops a tray behind me. I don't turn around and look when I'm at a restaurant. Like, I just, there's, yeah. Can I give you a perfect example?
No.
No?
No. I'm impressed.
I have a closet lady who's coming over to the house to do the closet. And she, California closets, by the way, she has a very thick, Long Island-ish esque dialect accent,
nice.
Whatever. I mean, it's overwhelming. It's palpable.
Yeah, yeah.
I never met anyone with that strong a sort of New York-y, Long Island-y. I think it's Long Island. Anyway, it's strong.
Yeah,
just a cute little
strong?
Girl.
Strong?
It's big.
Strong?
I just spent the afternoon with her, going through designs. Blah blah blah. I never said a word about it because I realized. She must hear it every single day, and there's nothing I'm going to add to this, and I don't even know what to do with it.
Yeah,
and I'm not.
She's clearly not going to change.
No, that's her accent,
that's her thing.
And I don't really. I'm not. I know what's going on. See, that's the whole thing. I know what's going on. She's from somewhere. She has an accent, just like if you're from Jamaica, you'd have an accent. And I know what it is. I know where she's from, and I know she transplanted here, and I don't need to get into it, but.
But you understand how well you know me, that you know me well enough that would bug me and I would bring it up just because
I know.
That's sensational. It's fantastic.
No, what I had
you is understand?
I had my glasses clipped to my collar, so they were exposed
Nobody
to the sun.
Nobody knows me as well as you.
And then as I walked into the studio, as I walked in the building, I went to put them on and I immediately realized they were dark.
Yeah.
And so I pulled them off as fast as I could because I knew Drew would comment.
It's crazy. I didn't know I would comment.
Listen, I know everybody.
I
know exactly what everybody does.
What am I going to do this afternoon?
That's my whole thing. Have sex with your guma, do a rail, take a nap, and then go into a CNN and pretend like you know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Same thing you do every
Thursday
weekend. That's right. All right, every week, I should say.
So back to eye real quick. I think I'm going to get that sort of essentially LASIK procedure. I'm going to do it. I'm going to get what's called PRK.
Yes.
Because I have too thin of a cornea, so I'm not eligible for LASIK, but I can do this thing where they actually have to remove your cornea.
Yeah.
And it grows back.
What are they? Why are you going to do it?
You know, my wife, let me give a plug out to this eye surgeon, a guy named Asil in Beverly Hills. He discovered that she has this crowded eye syndrome and needed a cataract repair and was going to get glaucoma. And he did it like, boom. I was so jealous that eye surgeons can just, you know, half an hour just change the course of somebody's life.
Yeah.
It's like, come on. Can't we have stuff like that in medicine? But anyway, it was such a positive experience. Originally went into it because I was going to do some promotion for them around LASIK. Mm-hmm. And then we discovered her thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I backed out. I was like, ah, forget it. And now I'm like, no, I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. Maybe later in the summer.
You won't be down for any real time, will you?
No. I'll be sort of weirdly unable to drive for a couple of days. That's it.
Mm-mm. I feel like I could always drive.
Apparently, they say it's like looking like through water. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If you ever you've never had far vision problems.
No, I never had any situations.
So if you like, for me to take my glasses off and try to drive, it is frightening. Yeah. So if it's anything like that, I don't want to.
My son will not go in the swimming pool without goggles. Goggles.
Yeah.
Literally, I don't know if you remember this or you've discovered this, but goggles. There's a scam going on with goggles, which is you can't thread them and redo them and tighten them and loosen them. They don't have a normal mechanism like they do with everything else.
They've taken a page from the old 1960s masks, underwater masks.
Yeah, except for these are now ribbon thin.
Yeah.
And you can't thread them and pull them back through. And the other night, it's a perfect example of my two kids. I was hanging in the swimming pool with Natalia, who obviously doesn't need goggles. I don't know why. I don't need them. No one ever did. And she, as Sonny is coming out to get in the pool with his trunks pulled up underneath his underarmpits and his towel, she grabs his goggles and whacks me over the head with them, in which case the strap comes undone and the goggles come undone. Mm-hmm. And then he announces, I'm not coming in unless I have my goggles.
And why did she hit you over the head? That's the
because they were loose, they were within hand's reach.
And so anything that can get into her grip is used as a weapon to hit dad with?
She is a little dynamo of – she reminds me of NFL great and Hall of Famer now, Kevin Green. Hmm. Kevin Green, there's a very famous clip, Gary – of Kevin Green when he was on the Rams. See, I say it in a condescending tone. Not the Steelers, not the Panthers. Rams clip, him on the sideline going, woo, 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 and screaming in another player's face. It should be pretty findable on the ultranet there because it's pretty famous. I think of Natalia every time I think of that clip. You have no idea what I'm talking about with that clip.
Mm-mm.
You've probably seen it. I'll say you've probably seen it. It's one of those. You know how NFL films have their archives and they show the same.
Yeah, there's a lot of sideline clips that come to mind, but most of them involve darker uniforms than Rams in my head. You know what I mean?
Home game.
Okay, could be Rams. Yeah.
So it's a long-haired blonde Kevin Green screaming at one of his players with his helmet off, and that's what I think of when I think.
So
of
you better
Natalia.
Put your daughter into some contact sport, collision sport.
Well, I tell you, you play in the pool with her, and she just screams the entire time. She'll scream in your face. She'll scream at you. And then it's the greatest thing about her is I go, look, we have neighbors. It's 9:30 at night. Now, please, be quiet. I will throw you, but you can't. You know, you throw her 10 seconds later, she's, whoa! Like, she can't stop. But it's a motor, man. It is a big-time motor. It's what's in her. I don't know. Now, what do we do to jack up Sonny's motor and jack hers down? That's the question. Because this isn't really an attitude, and it's not really a vibe or je ne sais quoi, you know, a gestalt or something. It's her motor.
Yeah.
It's her core.
I get it.
How do we get her core down a notch or controllable and Sonny's core up?
You got to get into a sport that requires like real maybe MMA.
MMA?
Real focus. You know,
I'm
real
sure
sort Lynn of.
Be happy with that. All right. Gary,
but you know what
Gary,
I mean?
You got the clip? Gary's saying they have
I
they
do.
Have the clip.
It's very short, so I've looped it, so it'll play. It'll seem a little crazy, but it's just too short to play the one time.
I have not seen that. I've never seen that. Yeah.
Sorry. There's another one with his helmet off.
I would not forget that.
He's probably with the Panthers with his helmet off on that one. But he was just a sideline screamer, and he would get in people's face and just scream as loud as he could. And That just reminds me of Italian. It's not yelling go or anything. Just bah! That's her move. I think of Kevin Green.
Oh, good time.
The great Kevin Green. All right. So funny. It's a weird thing. You know, the Rams had Kevin Green, mm-hmm. and Kevin Green was like the only guy on the defense with a motor. Like, you would watch back in the day, this is the 80s or whatever, but you'd watch these other teams like the Pittsburgh Steelers and these other Raiders at the time and stuff like that, and their defense had a swagger and a presence and whatever, and like one guy would make a tackle and the other guy would swarm around him and go ply him. You know, it was that whole big thing, right? Like kind of Ray Lewis stuff, you know? Yeah. And I just remember at the time, like I remember thinking when I was a Rams fan, watching games, 20 years old, whatever, 25, and I just think, Kevin Green's got a motor, and the other guys don't seem to have much of a motor. Now, what you want is 11 guys like Kevin Green, because then you get a Steelers, you know, steel curtain or iron curtain or whatever, defense, whatever it is. And then the next year, they got rid of Kevin Green. And I was like, oh, so we could do it this way, or we could do it this way. Like, he's literally... It's like you have a business and one guy shows up on time and everyone else shows up late and they go, get rid of that guy. He's making us look bad.
Right.
It's a weird thing. And look, you can tell me 1,000 reasons why they got rid of him, but I remember just thinking, that guy's got a motor. That guy's here to play.
Yeah.
And that guy's making everyone else look bad because he's here to play every Sunday. They got rid of Kevin Green. He went on to the Steelers, had a great career. Then he went to Carolina, had a great career. Now he's in the Hall of Fame. And I think he's leads all linebackers in sacks and is like third overall in sacks. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer.
Wow.
How many white linebacker Hall of Famers did the Rams come through the Rams? This guy's a pretty rare dude for the Rams in the mid-80s. Can you think of anybody?
No.
I think of anybody whose name you even recognize. So,
funny, I was thinking about Pat Hayden lately too. He's
quarterback.
For the Rams back
interesting
then.
Interesting dude. But what I'm saying is it's an interesting dynamic that they got rid of the guy.
Interesting's not the right word.
Well, it's a bad dynamic. Yeah. Here's what it means.
Bad management.
It means you're a poorly run organization. Yeah. And Steelers have a great defense. So Steelers went, you want to get rid of the guy with the motor?
Take him.
We'll take that dude for sure. And he went over the Steelers and had many great seasons. But it makes you think, like, who are the experts?
Oh, come on. We've had this conversation a million times.
Who are the experts?
The experts are usually people that didn't play, doesn't really know the field, doesn't really
right.
know. You
so
know.
It's experts in the homeless population, experts in child rearing. Jesus Christ, the child rearing experts have been wrong for as long as I've been alive.
Yeah.
Like, who are the experts in that field? Let's get rid of Kevin Green. Let him go play. He must have played another 9 or 10 seasons around the league, and now he's in the Hall of Fame.
There's one. I got a couple things I got to say real quick. One is just these are both off of what you were just saying. Brazelton, the guy named Brazelton, an old pediatrician that wrote a bunch of books. We relied on heavily and very sensible, very sort of low key. That guy. And, of course, he's not very flashy and people don't remember him. People say, old-fashioned, no good. I'm telling you, that guy was onto something. Number one. Number two, I'm thinking about Natalia and what we're going to do with that energy.
Yeah.
I think, like, fencing or karate. Something, something where she can be aggressive but has to really discipline it. Huh?
I was quite into fencing in my early 20s. It was dog-eared redwood fencing I was putting up all throughout the neighborhood. It was not an actual fencing, as you would know, but it was a type of fencing. It kept me busy, kept me disciplined. That is an interesting on guard. That's a very interesting thing because there's handfuls of sports I look at and or endeavors, and I go like when I see like American Ninja Warrior or something, I go no way. Because I have a horrible grip.
Huh.
You know, when they're climbing up the rope and stuff, I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I have a bad grip. When I look at fencing, I go, I would be really good at fencing.
Yeah,
I would
sense.
Have been. I have very long arms. Yeah. I'm very quick. And I'm not fast.
You're
I'm just good within
the center.
6 feet.
You're centered.
And I'm very centered. Yeah. I'd be very – and if I started at 9, there's no doubt I would be – at the Olympics so with it. I don't know if I'd win a gold, but I would be.
We'll put Natalia in there.
But put Natalia at that. I'll tell you what you will win a gold medal in. Mm-hmm. Caesar's Palace, man.
Uh-oh.
Oh, have you been to Vegas lately? Check out Caesar's Palace. Newly renovated rooms and suites. Monte Cristo. Cigar bar with a walk-in humidor, rare whiskey selection. Sports book with 143-foot LED. HD. I don't know how you go high def.
Well,
140.
Listen, whenever I thought about what it would be like to be in college, like at UNLV, that what always goes in my head is, how could you study? How could you be in your room doing whatever you're supposed to be doing on the weekend when you've got the Caesars Palace sports book right up the street? How's it possible? You'd have to watch the games.
You'd have to.
There's no way.
Yeah. I'd probably be bringing in like a Sterno can and some Dinty Moore stew.
Oh, yeah.
And setting up and cooking my own, making my own nachos.
Oh, it just keeps going. I mean, it's just to behold sports.
Well, they have a special room rate through the 31st of August. Our listeners, up to 25% off with the promo code Adam, now expanded to all 9 Caesars Palace properties, including Planet Hollywood and Paris, and even more. So this is the 25% deal extends to all their properties. So,
what are the properties?
Planet Hollywood and Paris, and they have.
There's more. The Link, which is right by that big
Caesar's
high
Palace.
Roller.
Yeah. Oh my God, it's crazy.
Yeah, I didn't know that. So I would say go online and figure it out. CaesarsPalace.com. Offer ends July 14th, man. Cool. And us doing a live podcast, me and my show, Thursday, July 13th for tickets. Visit AdamCarollaVegas.com. All right, Drew, thoughts? Or you want to take a call?
Line two.
Let's talk to Jared, 35, New Mexico.
Hey, what's going on? It's hey, Drew, and hey, Adam. I just have a question about supraventricular tachycardia.
All right.
And how serious is it? Because in the past, I wouldn't say 24 hours, but it was 24 hours in a whole time lapse. I had 2 episodes, and I was in the emergency room twice, mm-hmm. and I have had extensive, I have a congenital heart defect anyway.
Ah, well, there you go. So, so SVT, or supraventricular tachycardia, includes, by the way, sinus tachycardia. This is a fast heart rhythm that comes out of the atria. It's supraventricular. It's on top of the ventricles, and your heart mm-hmm. rhythm normally is generated out of the atria at the sinus node. And sinus tachycardia can be a supraventricular tachycardia. So the question becomes, what kind of SVT? It sounds like you're in the sort of PAT zone, which is, you know,
point sort of, after try?
No, paroxysmal atrial tachycardia.
I used to snap for those things.
Meaning it's an atrial tachycardia. I mean,
it's like when you tell people no and they keep rolling. You know what I mean? PAT, point after try, right?
Nope. Anyway,
so I used to snap. I'd do the snap. The holder, he'd about 7 yards back. He'd grab one knee. It wouldn't be a heart count. He'd show me his hands.
Oh.
I love that. I like that. Is not listening growing because of all the devices and all the earbuds and all the distraction?
I'm not sure I can blame the electronics. I blame
stupidity,
lack of education.
Okay.
And by the way, let me tell you something. One of the mechanisms for attention development, mm-hmm. it turns out, is having your mom sit there and pay attention to you, being the object of focus and then you focusing back on her.
Yeah.
We don't do enough of that.
Okay.
And then we traumatize kids and that makes them unfocused. And then we don't educate them and now it's game over.
Okay.
Now they can't hear anything. Any event, Jared, what's your underlying congenital heart defect?
Bicuspid atresia.
Bicuspid? You have...
Oh, no, tricuspid.
Tricuspid atresia. So their tricuspid valve is sort of narrowed, right? And
did
they repair that?
It was just repaired with a Fontan procedure. No replacement, though.
Okay. So they opened it back up. Isn't it functioning normally now?
I guess semi-normally. I wasn't on medication for about 15 years.
All right. But it changed. All right. Did they do what's called a commissurotomy? Is that kind
Ooh.
Of what they did?
Don't remember any of
all
that.
Right, right. Not important. The point is that when you have these sort of changes in the valve functions of the valves that sort of lead into the ventricles, you can get pressure changes in the atria, and that stretch on the atria can cause these arrhythmias. And with all that, you'd probably want to be on some kind of antiarrhythmic medicine, something simple. But again, you know, you need a cardiologist to make that determination for you.
Well, They have me on difetilide, Coumadin, and magnesium.
Were you on that before?
No, this is more of recent because it just started.
Okay.
The first episode started about, I'd say, 6 months ago. And
all right, so the Coumadin, is a blood thinner. And why didn't they use something like Eliquis or one of these newer things? Price?
Basically.
Yeah. And they think you maybe had some atrial fibrillation in there also?
Yeah. One of the times I went in, they thought it was atrial fibrillation.
Right. So that's why the Coumadin's on board. So, okay. So they're on top of you. It's all good. Don't worry. It's a nuisance more than – it could be serious if they didn't treat it. I'm not going to kid you. I mean, atrial fib in somebody your age, you know, puts you at real risk of stroke down the road. But
I've had a stroke before.
Awesome. Putting you on the blood thinners and everything takes care of it. That's it. You're fine. All right?
Hey, good luck, Jared.
You're going to be all right.
You'll be all right.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. Let's see. I got a 19-year-old son now taking antidepressants. I got a question for you, Drew.
Yes.
I was exploring this with Gary yesterday and Fondelier when we were doing Ace on the House, I think. I've noticed this phenomenon a lot. I experienced it this morning, and it's part and parcel to listening or not listening. The phenomenon of people sort of wanting to do something a certain way, and you going, no, no, don't do that.
Yeah.
Do it this way.
Yeah.
And they go, yeah, but what about? And you go, listen to me. Don't do that way. Now we're moving on. And you come back, and they've done it that way, and they'll give you a reason. They won't go because you're an asshole or fuck you. They'll just go, hey, I started to do it your way, and it wasn't working, or you want to do it your way, but I went to go get sandpaper. We didn't have it, so I just went back to my way. And it's like, sandpaper's right here. Oh, I didn't see it. Like you didn't see it, or you just didn't
want
to do it the way I want you to do it?
I would argue that kind of rolling along is the same kind of rolling along you were just describing with the point after touchdown. Right, they just get a structure in a head. It's like a map in their head, and that map is just the way it's going to go. You can't alter it. And I feel like we were talking about this during last week's pods too. We had the same conversation. I forget what it was about. You guys remember? It seemed like this topic came up, where how do you get people to change once they have a sort of a point of view or an idea about how they're going to do something or something they want to say and they want to get across to you that they've decided is what you're talking about, whatever that is. It's like a circuit, and you have to break the circuit, and they can't get out of it because they don't focus. I think I don't think they actually hear back. I think the guys listen to you about your alternative, what you shouldn't do, didn't really hear it, didn't really conceptualize it, didn't internalize it, didn't really think about it. They heard it and then kept their map in place. They didn't think. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think you're much more of a locked in look. People are who they are.
Yeah.
That's
I'm
your,
locked in
that's
the word.
Well, I mean locked in a negative way, but you are much more taking the side of the offender in the sense that you go, people can do what they can do, and that's about it.
No, like, I'm not taking sides.
I have a tendency to. Yes, you have a tendency to go, what do you want from them?
Yeah.
They're not us. And look, that's what you mean. And you're right. You're right to say that. But Gary's changed a lot over the last months and years. He had a tendency to come back with kind of a knee jerk or an excuse
He's so miserable now. He was so much happier before. He was free range Gary. I think he's happier now.
It's easier to
free
be.
Free range Chris, free it, range Gary.
It's easier to be here.
It's easier.
Sure.
It's easier just
and
to
it
go.
It helps in my general life.
It helped. It's easier just to go, you're right, moving on.
Well, here's what's really interesting.
Let me tell you something.
I got something to say.
I'm looking at Max Pata. I get accused of, if I ever just went, fine, you're right, moving on, won't happen again. You just circle around and keep coming back. And I go, no, I don't. I never do that. The second you say, won't happen again, moving forward, I do not circle back. I go right on past it to the next thing. The problem is you come back with an insane answer that doesn't make sense, and now we have to dissect it. That's the problem.
I mean, torture.
No.
Torture us.
You are going to walk away with some insane answer that you just gave me, and in your mind, you're satiated. I gave an answer. The answers I get are mostly insane. Oh, they vary from wildly improbable to insane. You know what I mean?
Did I talk about arguing with like flat earth theorists last week? I don't think I did.
I've had Tell me about it.
No, and tomorrow. Tomorrow's pod.
Okay, tomorrow's pod.
Do a call.
All right. All right.
Oh, yeah, wait, hold on. So I want to talk about our friends at Blinds Galore, everybody. For the July sale right now, up to 50% off everything. One of the biggest sales of the year. It is ending soon. Hurry before it ends. It ends this Thursday. I was just walking around. We finally sort of got that pool house thing in order.
Mm-hmm.
Blinds are up. The quality that Blinds Galore offered is unbelievable. And they designed everything. They just like set it up. And I go, Susan, why is this way? She goes, designer did it. It's done. It's perfect.
Yeah. I have them everywhere.
Yep.
Everywhere.
100% custom-built window treatments made for just the way you order them. Expert customer care team will help you every step of the day. Step of the way. That is not just empty promise. They will do it. They've covered over 2 million windows. I have them. We got them here, as we said. We love Blinds Galore. BlindsGalore.com. They will help you get the custom blinds and shades you've always wanted. Do not forget. Check them out during the big 4th of July sale. Do not miss this. Get in there quick. They have unbelievable deals on all their products. That is BlindsGalore.com. Again, expert customer service, up to 50% off everything, biggest sale of the year. Do not miss this. If you're even contemplating blinds, get in there now, blindsgalore.com. Let them know Adam and Drew sent you.
All right. Got an interesting question up here on line 3.
Yeah.
Tim?
Yes, sir.
What's going on?
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know I worship at the altar of the entire Corolla sphere, so I thank you for that.
Corolla sphere,
thank you. I'm sure you've been tuned up just like our own Gary has.
Yeah, my wife's tired of it. But I got a 19-year-old son, and when he was about 7, you know, we noticed he was having difficulties learning, listening. And it was a lot of sensory issues, like having to do with mostly around noise and being distracted.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of things, you know, a lot of touch things, a lot of things, touch, but it was mostly noise. You just couldn't concentrate and couldn't listen. He'd be overwhelmed by too much instruction. And, you know, he grew out of a lot of that, but it kind of put him back socially for a couple of years. Now at 19, he's just starting to do that, and he's just starting to get into the things that normally 16-year-olds would do.
Mm-hmm.
But now he just started therapy probably about a month ago because he has a low-grade depression, and they prescribed 50 milligrams of sertraline, Dr. Drew. I don't know if that's a...
Zoloft.
A generic.
Is that what
Zoloft.
That is?
Yeah.
It's a generic, yep. Zoloft?
Yeah.
I don't know, Drew. I mean, you know, you don't like any of the pain meds.
Mm.
I worry about this, and I just worry about when do you stop, when do you get off these things? And, you know, I'm not saying they don't work. The problem is maybe they do work, and then you're just on.
Yeah.
It just becomes your life.
I understand what you're saying, and it's almost philosophically a hard thing to create specific guidelines for, because ultimately I'm of the belief that brains heal other brains, right?
Mm-hmm.
That people that have some skill, that can pay attention and be empathetic, their brain can hold and heal other brains in need, okay?
But yeah, sometimes, and your brain can do a lot of healing too if you find something that really, you know, you find a horse that's sick and you fall in love with it and you spend all day tending to it.
And to some extent, perhaps altering our chemistry may somehow interfere with some of that or you know, decrease the motivation for it, or who knows what? Who knows what when you get right down to it? Philosophically.
Well, is it like steroids? Like, you don't, you know, you could take steroids and not have to hit the gym that hard. Maybe?
No. It's not a good analogy. But
why
but,
not?
Because
you just said there's work that needs to be done with the brain and other people's brain and then your own brain, but you take this pill and the work doesn't become as crucial.
Motivate. You're not as
motivated.
Yeah.
And if I could take a pill that sort of helped substitute for the gym, or I'd have to go to the gym half as long.
All right, then you would.
That's I would. Right.
Yeah. And that's...
I dare you with the bad analogy.
No, that's not a good analogy. It's a little different than steroids, because that pill doesn't really exist, so fine.
But, or whatever the people think of when they think of steroids.
But by the same token, there are real limits of what we can do with talk and with brains healing brains, or there are dangers.
He said low grade.
Yeah, and there are dangers of waiting too long, and there is realistic...
What's low grade mean, Tim and Dr. Drew?
Low grade depression?
Yeah. I want to know what Tim's version of it is.
Yeah.
Well, he's always been a low-key kid, So, you know, if he was a super energetic kid running around, and then all of a sudden he just stopped engaging and stopped being energetic, it'd be easy. But he's just such a, he just runs so evenly all the time, it was kind of hard to spot.
Did he need to wear goggles when he went in the pool as a youngster?
Yes, he did, but no longer.
Interesting.
No longer.
There's an equation to be drawn here, Drew.
I see that.
Yeah, all right. Tim, I would feel like, what could we do with this lad that did not involve ingesting a pharmaceutical? But I'm with Drew. Hey, it helps. Sometimes it's necessary. It does. The low-grade part, and your son doesn't feel, it feels like something that engaged him, something that turned him on, a thing that he really found a passion for.
But what about in the meantime, he may be impaired and miserable and less able to function, and while you're waiting for that to hit. It's a navigation, right?
Yeah, it's a navigation.
Like, yeah, I agree with you philosophically, but scientifically, you got to kind of get objective.
Well,
I heard low grade,
which I don't know what that means. But hey, Tim, you're a good guy. This doesn't sound,
he's in good hands.
He's in good hands.
It sounds like you're doing everything right.
My question is the long term. I'm just wondering, what's the end game? I mean, is there going to be a point where he's going to be okay and he can do this? Now, he's been a lot more engaged with us proactively.
Yeah, at 19, I can't think of a worse year for a male than age 19. I cannot. You, 18 is, you're in high school, or you're just coming off of high school, or whatever. You're the bell of the ball. You're senior in high school, or you just...
19 is when I actually got, clinically depressed and had started panic attacks. 19.
19, yeah. Yeah. And 20 is not a ton better, but you're moving toward the light. Right. You're moving toward adulthood.
That's true.
You're used
to being miserable.
You're used to being miserable. I was 19. I was the same way. I was just sitting in this garage in North Hollywood, baking my brains. I was like 120 degrees in the garage. I was just lying there staring at the ceiling going, what the hell am I going to do? No jobs anywhere. No prospects. No anything. No nothing. I guess I'll get up the next day and I'll just walk to a supermarket and ask if they are taking applications. The guy will say no, and then I'll walk back home, beat off, and take a nap.
And if only you had TrueCar, because then you'd have something to sort of strive for. It's something you could potentially do, buy a car. But we were, forget it. And to feel comfortable, you're getting a fair price. You need the context. You'll see what others pay at TrueCar. You'll see with a market value in your particular area, you get a scattergram for the car you want. You learn about the car you want. You learn about price. You'll be confident when you go in. And then once you register, the price you've locked in is real pricing on actual inventory on that TrueCar certified dealer's lot. So again, you feel confident. It's an easy buy experience. TrueCar users save an average of $3,000 off MSRP, and there are discounts you cannot get anywhere else, new or used. Over 3 million cars sold by the over 13,000 TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. So whether you're ready to buy new or used, when you're ready to go, you just go to TrueCar and you will enjoy a more confident car buying experience. You'll be informed. You'll see real pricing on actual inventory. You lock it in, you walk in, that's your car, and off you go. TrueCar, go to TrueCar. Some features not available in all states.
All right. Go to AdamCarolla.com. See where the live shows are going and the crews and all that kind of stuff. Check out NoSafeSpaces.com. We're keeping our crowdfunding going. You can see some cool snippets of me and Prager up on stage. I think you'll enjoy the dynamic of Prager and I. We have a very, very fun dynamic because he's a very serious guy with a lot of wisdom who does not take himself seriously at all, which is how we should all strive to be. Have very serious thoughts, but don't be a serious person.
Yeah.
Why isn't there more of that? I feel like there's dumb people who are acting way too serious for their pay grade, and then there are people who are having serious thoughts and then acting like Winchester from MASH. But why not have the best of both worlds?
Well, tomorrow I'm going to talk about changing people's minds, the backfire effect, and these very issues you're talking about and why people seem so arrogant about their ideas.
Fonda Lear is going to talk about the backfire effect. You may want to listen in on that.
While
you're on the commode. All right.
Go to doctor.com. Check out all the podcasts there, please.
Go to amcarolla.com. Chassis, Chassy. Lots of new content coming that way. So, until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.